good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, January 6th, 2022. Hello, Dave.
You said that somewhat reluctantly, I guess, just wondering what I may have in store for this greeting on this mediocre Thursday.
That's what I mean. It is just Thursday, and it is the first week of 2022, and it's just one of those weeks.
It's National Technology Day.
You're going to bring that up to me as much as I despise technology?
Absolutely, because I'm going to follow it up by saying it's National Cuddle Day, too.
Okay.
But look, besides cuddling Ruby and being cuddled by Ruby, I'm just going to, if you could indulge me for just 30 seconds, I just came across this just a couple of minutes ago. Turns out a guy by the name of Lawrence Brooks was the oldest World War II veteran in the U.S., believed to be the oldest man in the 112. He died in New Orleans yesterday at 112.
Yeah.
He often told the story about a time when he was a passenger in a C-47 transport delivering a load of barbed wire to the front when one of the plane's engines went out. And after they dumped the cargo to conserve weight and to make it to their destination, he made his way to the cockpit and told the pilot and co-pilot that since they were the only two with parachutes, if they had to jump for it, he was going to grab onto one of them because he wanted to make it back home.
Wow.
Well, he made it back home, however, and we salute. We don't glorify war on this program by any means, but we do think it's fine and important to give tribute to those who fight in them. Lawrence
Absolutely.
Brooks.
Absolutely. So did the plane go down? Did he actually grab onto?
No word. I'm guessing it did not go down.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of them hopefully made it back.
And the moral of the story? If there's three people on a plane, you should have three parachutes.
There you go. I like that.
I don't know if that's a moral, but it's being prepared.
There you go.
Yes.
Best of the best.
Well, let's see if gold had any morals today, and it doesn't look like it did. Mm-hmm. More pressure on gold, stronger dollar, and, you know, hey, and why not with all that is being focused on today? You have gold down $22 at $1,788. And remember, we've seen a trading range in gold from $1,750 to $1,800. And I don't see anything different right now. And it's all based on, everybody will say, oh, it's because, and we're going to talk about this. And, you know, with the Fed beginning to cut their bond purchases and maybe raising rates later on in the year, gold is going to perform. Gold performs just as well in a rising rate market as it does and it just takes a little bit longer to respond because the fundamentals and what's pushing those rates higher is good for gold. So don't expect knee-jerk reactions for every little thing that happens by the Fed, because what the Fed does, it's fake, it's not real, and everybody knows it. So they can do these things and so forth and until it begins to make an impact. If it was a real market, yeah, you'd see immediate action. But that doesn't work that way, not when you have Wall Street, multinational corporations, and the Fed manipulating these prices, our government. Silver was down 64 cents at 22.24. Platinum was down 22. At 970. Palladium was up to. You know, and it just cracks me up when you see all of these twos. You just can't tell me, you know, that's normal. Palladium was up $2 at 1962. So it is irritating. It's frustrating. So we don't focus on the prices of gold and silver. We focus on the fundamentals and what it's going to do and how we buy the insurance. hey, if you don't have a fire in your home, are you upset? Because you can't use your fire insurance? No. It's the same thing. So, just hang in there. You buy on the dips. If you're looking to get in the market, don't let lower prices scare you away. It hasn't changed. And everything that they've done, it's only added fuel to the fire. Let's see. The USDX today, it wasn't up much. 0.11 at 96.29. Crude oil was up a buck and a half at 79.43, almost 80 again. The paper markets today, they were kind of all over the page. The Dow was just down 170 points at 36,236. The NASDAQ fell for a third day as some of these tech stocks are struggling. The NASDAQ was down 19 points at 15,080. The S&P was down 4 points at 4,696. Asian markets were mixed. European markets were all negative. The bond, 1.728. I haven't seen that number in a long time. 1.728 up 0.025. So tomorrow will be the big day, Dave, as we see what the jobs report is going to be, I think.
No, for sure.
You know, that's, you know, and again, that report, no matter how it shows, you know, we'll dice it up for you, give you the truth of the matter, you know, just to see what the jobs report really is. So, you know, we, as I said, as we were going in talking about other things, the Fed's starting to cut bond purchases. The Fed at its December meeting begins to start cutting. The FOMC members also said that a reduction in its $8.3 trillion balance sheet, and that's as of November, will likely start sometime after the Fed begins raising interest rates. Officials didn't say when the Fed will start rolling off $5.4 trillion in treasuries and $2.5 trillion in mortgage-backed securities holdings. But they did suggest at the meeting that the process might begin in the next couple of months. The meeting summary said almost all participants agreed that it would likely be appropriate to initiate balance sheet runoff at some point after the first increase in the target range for the federal funds rate. You know, Dave, this is just, anyway, traders currently expect the Fed to start raising its interest rates in March. The minutes also indicated that once the process begins, the appropriate pace of balance sheet runoff would likely be faster than it was during the previous normalization episode in October 2017. So it's going to be faster. Dave, that's telling me that that inflation really is beginning to impact their numbers, I think. Because that's the only reason why they would do it faster than what they did in October 2017. And look at the impact it had.
So, well, let them do it too fast, too soon, and we're going to see a recession, another recession, and a deeper one by the end of 2022, if not sooner, in my humble opinion.
Well, if they do it faster, but even as they did it in October of 2017, it started to fall apart. Even as, you know, even when they did it slower. Remember Trump was whining, you got to lower those rates. You got to lower those rates.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem with the Fed. They tend to overreact on both extremes. And so, you know, I mean, it'd be interesting to see a study. I haven't seen any studies out there. I looked for one earlier in this week for a newsletter article. There's bound to be something I come across at some point, but I just wondered if any academic types have looked at the Fed's decision-making impact on, particularly on on the downside, on the scope and length of recessions by doing too much on the front side, and then realizing they've overstepped once again, and then trying to backtrack into a position like in this case, to bring inflation down. But it'll be interesting. They the one thing that we never really hear with respect to the Fed is the value of the dollar, and for gold and silver investors, that's important because the dollar declines in value. That almost by definition means the price of gold is going to be higher. And in terms of manipulation, which is what we've seen, well, by all the big players. You mentioned them earlier, Wall Street, the banks, the multinationals, how they've gotten into the gold market over the last 10 years, more the paper side and stocks and ETFs. They've tried at their, to promote their own interests at keeping gold in its place, if you will. That's a big problem. These hypocrites talk about free market forces.
Let's
stand back and let it all happen at its own pace and what have you. And there's nothing like a free market anymore, ladies and gentlemen, with the widespread manipulation that goes on every single day. All right, that's enough.
No, it isn't. We're doing a live radio show, Dave. You just can't stop.
Well, this is true. This is true.
You know what? And the thing of it is, I've been doing this for so long, and we've been talking about it for so long, and it's like, but it is frustrating because we're in probably in one of the most important markets we can be in. And it just doesn't seem sometimes, folks, get a little discouraged and so forth, unless you truly understand money. Unless you truly understand what's going on, and that's what I hope we bring to this program, is helping people understand that all the hoopla and all the records that the stock markets make doesn't take away the fact that we have inflation, your dollar is losing value, and your purchasing power is becoming less and less every single day. And one day, it will all come. There is a day of reckoning for the recklessness, for the corruption in these markets, for $30 trillion in debt that they claim, and that's not even, future debt, brings it up to CBO, what, $200 trillion or something? It's probably higher than that. That's an old number. So they change things. I mean, we see right through it, and they get away with it, Dave, just like your buddy, Jamie.
Which buddy?
Jamie.
Oh.
Your buddy Jamie.
Jamie D?
Yeah, Jamie D.
Don't talk to me about him.
I mean, he's in charge of a company that has been charged with,
five, yeah.
Felonies? Five?
Yeah. Talk about having your board of directors in the palm of your hand. Before we move away from this story, Melody, I found it illuminating to the extent that the FOMC minutes from December now says the Fed's looking at 3/4 percentage point increases this year, another 3/4 percentage increases in 2023, and even 2 more in 2024. Now, listen to this, because this is important. That would theoretically take the Fed funds rate. Remember, that's Everything moves kind of in tandem. That's going to affect the 10-year treasury. That's going to affect a lot of other benchmarks that mortgages are based on, and credit card rates, which are already, you know, outrageously usurious, and so on and so on. But it's going to take the Fed funds rate from its current high range of 0.25 percentage point to 2.25 percentage points sometime in 2024. Now, that may not seem a lot, and perhaps, you know, compared to the late 70s, it's not. But compared to where it's been the last several years since the end of the Great Recession, and how they've, artificially kept rates low, that's going to have a major impact if you have any kind of variable rate mortgage or a home equity loan that, say, you've used to pay off your car, or if you've used it for, you know, its initial intentions to, you know, make improvements to your house, you're going to see your monthly payments go up. So it's going to have a major impact on both corporate and individual borrowing. Of course, that may just beg the question, why are you so much in debt? If you're not there, don't go there, ladies and gentlemen.
No, that's something that we say a lot. Get out of debt, get out of debt. And, I mean, you can, you know, I'm a believer you get out of debt. If you carry a little debt, make sure you manage it. You know, but you have to be careful, and it's difficult for most people to manage it. And always make sure you're always able to pay it off. You know, you can use other people's money for a while, but don't get caught in their trap. Today's Thursday, Dave.
Whoa, what does that mean?
Oh, I don't know. It means we're going to be heading into a break for the first segment of the program. Jobless claims are up slightly, 207. That's 207,000 for the week, and higher than the 195 forecast, and up 7,000 from the previous week. I also want to say U.S. trade deficit surges. Goods and services jumped to $80 billion in November. $80 billion. But the total brought the trade shortfall close to September's record of $81.4 billion as the deficit increased with China, European Union, and Canada. The November deficit was 19.3% higher than the October deficit of 67. You know, just some sad numbers there. But I hear the music. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Sign up for the newsletter. And it's a very good newsletter. I think you'll find it very, very good read. And also make sure you share it. Please share it. Heading into the break, we were talking about the trade deficit. November imports, goods Americans bought from other countries, that jumped 4%. While exports, those the U.S. sends overseas, edged up a scant 0.2%. That's so sad. Through the first 11 months of 2021, the U.S. trade deficit is 29% higher than during the same period last year, or the last year, with the economic recovery in the U.S. outpacing other nations. For all of 2020, the trade deficit stood at just shy of $677 billion. And that was slightly higher than the 2019, Dave. Anything else in there you'd like to share with the...
Oh, let me just browse. I don't really think so. I mean, it's this is affecting some people's growth estimates for the fourth quarter of this year as well as next year. But that's so speculative, even though fourth quarter GDP numbers will be out at the end of this month on the 27th. I'm not going to even mention the numbers. So, nope, I have nothing more to add on that story.
Well, growth in the service industries, where, you know, most Americans do work, pulled back in December after we've seen it at a record pace the previous 2 months. And this report comes from the Institute for Supply Management today. And the monthly survey of service industries declined to a reading of 62 last month from an all-time high of 69 just in November. Since recording 2 months of contractions last year in April and May, the overall index has now grown for 19 consecutive months. And looks like, you know, we'll still, the new variant will have some effect in January's activity. So there you go. Business activity, employment, new orders, and supply deliveries all showed slower growth in December. So, Dave, maybe it's just a bad economy, too.
Hey, go figure.
Did anybody ever think about that?
Well, interestingly, yeah, prices paid by service companies for materials and service rose in December for the 55th consecutive month. That's over four years, yeah. So it's third highest reading ever, 82.5. Now, it's sort of counterintuitive. Some strengths in the service sector is the result of supply chain troubles that are making it harder to meet increased demand, either from businesses or consumers. Longer supplier delivery times and rising prices combined register as strengths for the services sector. But this, and here's the aggravating part of this story. I mean, companies are still reporting difficulty hiring, with the job market healthier than it's been since the pandemic began. claiming that, you know, again, or pointing to the headline employment falling to 4.2% last month. And, of course, that's a level that many economists consider close to, quote, full or maximum employment. Let's see, Todd, if only we had some kind of music that, and if we had video, we'd have a big thing in the background going, joke, joke, joke. I mean, that overly optimistic assessment is unfortunate at best. But I do say joke quite seriously, not cynically at all. I mean, given the fact that the government's U6 unemployment rate, which is a more accurate picture of the jobs market because it includes discouraged workers and people working part-time because can't find full-time work, is almost double the bogus headline rate at 7.8%. That's the U6 rate. Others using older methodologies that the government used back in the 80s and 90s has it still in the double digits. So, you know, this 4.2, I mean, the fact that all the mainstream media continues to use that number of the six or seven that the government publishes, the Bureau of Labor Statistics publishes every month, it just bugs the living crap out of me because it does the American people and as well as businesses, small businesses, that these numbers are supposed to, you know, inform. Does that at the surface. Anyway, you're up, Melody.
Whenever you get lied to, it is disturbing.
Yeah, I guess that might be it. Maybe that's it.
You know, and it's just, and it's just, it's all a cover up, you know, and, you know, I get that this new variant is very contagious and so forth and whatnot, but I'll tell you what, you know, since they pumped up the news media on that, who talks about the supply shortages anymore? Who talks about the ships over in seas? Who even talks about all the, some of the other issues that we're having? So everything else just gets put on the back burner and everything just, you know, focuses on one thing and it all should be addressed at the same time. But the
so
other.
What's that a function of? You think these news outlets are being told by their corporate overlords focus on that, or just, you know, they have a litany of other issues, but primarily the pandemic, the variants and what have you, to avoid talking about the other things that matter more. Well, it matter as much as
if it's going to affect Wall Street, you betcha.
Yeah.
You bet your bottom dollar. Look to see who owns these media outlets. Couple people.
They ain't small businesses.
You know, so yeah, you betcha. It's money, 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 more money, more money, more money. Mm. And and you know, when you look at the, I don't even know what you call the people. They're not journalists on a lot of these news programs.
Well, they're broadcasters in many cases.
Yeah, I mean they're scripted. They're doing their job. They say what they're supposed to say. Whatever they're, you know, it's acting to a large part.
Yeah.
And it's not. I just want the news. Just give me the news. I'll decide what I want to believe. And,
all right, there's a new. You know, what was that movie? Oh gosh, I can't believe Jerry Maguire.
Show me the money.
Yeah. I think you've come up with something there, Melody. Show me the news. Show me the news. More news, more news, more news. There you go. That's our new mantra for the new year.
No, I can find my own. And that's, you know, people ask me all the time, well, where do you go? Where do you read? So I find my own. You know, I've been doing this for, you know, 27 years. I can figure out what's real and what's not real. I don't get caught up in somebody trying to promote my belief. You know, I'd like to think I can critically think on my own. I don't need someone to tell me what to think or how to think. So I do I don't go to 80,000 different websites because that's when you get confused.
Well, you know what, too? It's also the beauty of sponsoring and promoting your own program. You don't accept funds from Comcast, Time Warner, Kellogg's, Procter & Gamble, you know, AMT, the big boys and girls out there that lead to all of these conflicts.
Well, what people don't know is I don't have any advertisers at all. Yep. None.
So listeners can be reassured, not that seasoned listeners have those kinds of doubts anyway, but if you only tune in from time to time, or particularly if you're a new listener, we don't have those kind of conflicts on this show. Melody and I and the Reverend Butch may disagree on various issues from time to time, but they're our own. They're you know, what we talk about, what we report, what we offer our opinions and commentary on, they're based on what we find on your behalf out there. The news that's not fit to print, but that's essential for precious metal investors.
Plus, when you buy from Discount Gold and Silver, you also become a part of that.
Yeah.
You become a part of helping people understand, because what you pay, what Discount Gold and Silver gets, which is a small percentage of what the wholesalers get, goes back into programming for other programs, not mine. Bethann, Butch, Riggs. There's other programs I support through no help of anyone except the goodwill of the people purchasing from Discount Gold and Silver. And so, you know, it means something when you make a purchase with Discount Gold and Silver. You know, people want to know, what can I do to help this country? Well, you know what? When you buy gold and silver from Discount Gold and Silver, that's what you're doing. You're doing your small part in helping through education. I mean, I just don't support any old buddy out there. I mean, I support the ones that I believe really tell the truth. And it's not, you know, Dave, I used to do I was associated with a national radio person, and they were up for grabs there was a replacement on a late night show. And they told me that one night it was between two people. And the two people were doing their, you know, different programs and so forth. So one night she showed up to do her bit, and they said, here, take these vitamins and tell everybody you take them. They do, you feel better than you ever have in your life. And she says, well, I can't do that. That's lying. The other person came on. They did the same thing. And they're up there saying, this is the best thing that I ever had. You know, you got to buy this. You'll feel great and wonderful and so forth. Guess who got the job? The one who lied.
Liar.
And she was basically blackballed. So, you know, that's what goes on behind the scenes. If people knew what went behind the scenes, that went on behind the scenes... But anyway, levity is golden before we're running out of time. Inflation, deflation, and gold. Dave, you talked about on the previous program, the rising price of gold over time reflects the loss in purchasing power of the U.S. dollar. I talk about it all the time. We talk about the dollars, the loss in the dollar's purchasing power as an effect of inflation. And so tell us what you wrote in this week's American Survival newsletter and how that affects gold.
Well, look, here's the bottom line, Melody. Over the last 100 years, the dollar has lost 99% of its purchasing power. You mentioned that term earlier, and we talk about it all the time. The loss in purchasing power is reflected in a gold price that's increased by almost 90 times over the same period. The effect of deflation of deflation, not inflation, but of deflation on gold's price is, well, different. More specifically, the effect of deflation on gold's price is opposite to the effect resulting from inflation. Deflation is characterized by a contraction in the supply of money. Thus, each remaining unit is more valuable. That is, purchasing power increases. Certainly don't see that too often. There's probably no better example of that than what happened in the U.S. and, well, in the rest of the world in the 1930s, during and after the Great Depression. A huge contraction in the supply of money and credit led to widespread financial and economic collapse. We're on the verge of that again. I kid you not. And this is someone who believes strongly in, well, in some of the institutions and companies that are still around today. Not all, for sure. I know. Now he gagged me with a spoon. But look, there are considerably fewer dollars in circulations. The purchasing power of those dollars actually increased. During the Depression, many people didn't have much or, in fact, any money. But the dollars they did have would actually purchase more, not less. Prices for ordinary goods and services declined by 25% during the 3 years ending in 1932. That was in addition to a 10% decline that had occurred over the course of the 1920s. So with each dollar buying as much as one-third more than just a few years earlier, and with the stock market that had dropped by as much as 90%, inflation, well, wasn't really a concern. All during this time, though, the price of gold was fixed at $20.67 per ounce and convertible with the U.S. dollar. Those 20 paper dollars were exchangeable for 1 ounce of gold, vice versa. In 1933, again, as Melody mentioned the other day, FDR issued an executive order prohibiting private ownership of gold by U.S. citizens anyway, and repriced gold at $35 an ounce. Now, after that, the gold price remained fixed at that level for almost four decades. Then beginning in 1934 and ending 36 years later, 1970, purchasing power of an ounce of gold dropped by 65%. And that's the thing to remember. We're going to run out of time here. I'll take that up, the rest of this up in the third segment today. Remember, this happened even though the nominal price of gold was fixed at $35 an ounce. You hear the music again. That means it's time for another short break. We will be back in a few moments. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Without love, where would we be? My favorite classic rock songs. Dave Allen here. Welcome back to Financial Survival. Melody off the third segment, taking care of clients. You can reach her at 1-800-375-4188. We were in the midst of Levity is Golden, certainly not Brevity is Golden. Right before the break, we were talking about 1933 when FDR issued his executive order that prohibited U.S. citizens from owning gold and repriced it from $20 and change to $35 an ounce. That's when paper currency would no longer be convertible into gold for U.S. citizens. I believe foreign holders could still continue to redeem their holdings of U.S. dollars for gold at that new $35 rate. That in 1970, or by 1970, the purchasing power of an ounce of gold had dropped by 65%. Now, that's a reflection of the deflation that had previously occurred and that showed up in a dollar that had actually grown stronger, not weaker. Remember, this happened even though the nominal price of gold was fixed at $35 an ounce. And there were fewer dollars in circulation, and they were worth more, not less. As a result, dollars were, well, at least for the time being, more valuable than gold. Not so much today. Lot of daily gyrations in, say, the U.S. dollar index. Thus, a lot of daily gyrations in the price of gold. Because as I mentioned in our program on Tuesday and in this week's newsletter article, that if there's one fundamental of gold that you want to follow, it's the direction of the U.S. dollar. And we know that that's been going down for many, many years. The big question then is, could something similar happen today? Well, you know, in reality, the short answer is who knows. And theoretically, I guess almost anything's possible. But even though the Fed virtually created trillions of dollars out of thin air, thus artificially increasing money supply since it embarked on quantitative easing and its unprecedented bond buying program, that higher level of money supply, it's $8.4 trillion or something like that, it's not going to magically disappear when the Fed starts to taper in the coming weeks. Remember this, ladies and gentlemen. As long as the U.S. dollar continues a gradual slide, the price of gold will continue rising as a reflection of the constantly continuing loss of purchasing power as reflected in the always present, all-powerful nature of inflation. And that you can take to the bank. All right. Levity is Golden is done. We'll talk more about that kind of stuff next week. Now, where do we from here? Bear with me one momento. Listen, here's some unsettling news. I just spent a little time on that. I mean, if it's true, North Korea claimed earlier today to have conducted its second successful test flight of a hypersonic missile. Now, the supposed test comes just days after Kim Jong-un vowed to boost his military forces despite pandemic-related difficulties. Yesterday's launch the North's first known weapons test in, well, in about 2 months, indicates that the country is pressing ahead with plans to at least modernize its nuclear and missile arsenals. In fact, increasing them rather than returning to disarmament talks with the U.S. and South Korea anytime soon. Hypersonic missiles, which fly at speeds in excess of Mach 5, or five times the speed of sound, could pose crucial challenges to U.S. and other missile defense systems because of their speed and maneuverability. Now, it's unclear whether and how soon the North could actually manufacture such a high-tech missile to make it operational, but it was among a wish list of sophisticated military assets that Kim talked about earlier last year, that also included multi-warhead missiles, spy satellites, solid-fueled long-range missiles, and underwater-launched nuclear missiles, typically cruise. So I don't know where this is heading, but the North does appear to have made progress in the development of a hypersonic missile. But it does still need more test flights to determine whether it meets its tactical objectives or how advanced a hypersonic weapon it could actually develop. Now, in a somewhat related story, we're seeing that the leaders of Japan and Australia have signed a so-called landmark defense agreement today that allows closer cooperations between the two countries' militaries and, as an aside, stands as a rebuke to China's growing presence in the region. I guess assertiveness as well. I mean, Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison and Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida met in a virtual summit to sign this reciprocal access agreement. That's, interestingly, the first such defense pact signed by Japan with any country other than the U.S. The agreement follows more than a year of talks between Japan and Australia aimed at breaking down legal barriers to allow the troops of one country to enter the other for training and other purposes. Morrison called the pact a pivotal moment for Australia and Japan and for the security of our two nations and people. Now, the pact builds on the strategic dialogue known as the Quad, which includes Japan, Australia, the U.S., and the second largest democracy in the world, India. Australia last year also signed the so-called AUKUS agreement with the U.S., Britain, both of which have pledged to help Australia acquire nuclear-powered submarines. A lot more international news, geopolitical news this week. Yesterday, the U.S. and Germany said that Russia's military buildup near Ukraine's border poses an immediate and urgent challenge to European security, and that any intervention, again, will draw severe consequences. Now, of course, the country's top diplomats left open what those consequences would be and how differences on arming Ukraine, as well as the controversial Russian gas pipeline, will be resolved. Now, just briefly, the buy now, pay later industry, BPNL for short, which is an increasingly important driver of retail sales, could face new rules as scrutiny in D.C. Builds. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is peering into the data collection policies of companies like Affirm, Afterpay, Klarna, PayPal, Zip. They're a few of the most notable players in the BNPL industry. They say the review is a first step. Now, the CFPB is concerned these platforms may encourage overspending and as much so dodge existing regulations around credit and lending. also the agency, federal agency, also plans to examine these companies' data collection practices. Billions of investor dollars are potentially at stake. Just last year, Square, which is now Block, paid about $29 billion to buy Afterpay. Now, briefly, and then we'll move on, BNPL. Consumers can qualify and get approved for BNPL purchases a lot faster than, say, for a new credit card. And they can take home the product they quote, buy before fully paying it off, typically through installments with little to no interest or fees. Now, these, you know, like credit card companies, the BNPL platforms charge stores a percentage or a flat fee for each sale. And these retailers, particularly the biggies, Walmart, Target, Amazon, Nike, et cetera, as well as a growing number of small businesses, offer BNPL as a way to break up purchases into multiple installments. $97 billion in e-commerce sales, going fast. Now, let's see, where are we? Oh, you know what? Before we get to the end of the program, let me talk about this, which I saw earlier today. Russ and Pam Martins at Wall Street on Parade report that from September 17th, 2019 through July 2nd, 2020, the trading units of the too big to fail banks took a cumulative total of over 11 trillion, 11.2 to be exact, in emergency repo loans from the New York Fed. The Fed's agent for these things is the New York Fed. And the emphasis here is on emergency repo loans. New York Fed's literally owned by the mega banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, etc. The New York Fed is also responsible for sending its own bank examiners into these same banks, its owners, to make sure they aren't plotting some evil scheme that will bring down the economy, as they did, however unintentionally, with their derivatives and subprime debt bombs in 2008. Bottom line is that big banks were borrowing huge sums over short spans of time from the Fed's emergency, and again, emphasis on emergency repo program. Over a span of just 2 weeks in November 2019, J.P. Morgan Securities, which is the trading unit of the too-big-to-fail J.P. Morgan Chase, pancake repo loans ranging from 14 to 42 days, together with one overnight loan, to amass a total of $30 billion outstanding at one time. That's big. And J.P. Morgan Securities loan of $30 billion may just be the tip of the iceberg, according to the Martins. Unfortunately, the Fed's yet to release the details for any of the quarters in 2020, much less 2021. Under the Dodd-Frank financial reform legislation of 2010, the Fed has 2 years before it's legally required to release the names of the banks and their borrowing amounts. Well, that's just outrageous. Some of the mega banks themselves had not said why they took these repo loans, these emergency loans. The Martins say this strongly suggests that one or more banks are going to claim that they were not required to disclose these tens of billions of dollars in emergency loans from the Fed. And remember, that's for a financial crisis that has yet to be explained, and which came months before the first case of COVID was ever reported by the CDC in January of 2020. Again, emergency loans. Unfortunately, the Fed isn't required to release its routine open market operations either. It's only required to release the names of the banks involved in emergency loan operations. Now, also, this was the first time since the Great Recession began 13 years ago that the Fed had initiated its emergency repo loans. The stark difference between 2008 and 2019 is, well, we knew about the crisis in 2008, but what in God's name was the crisis 11 years later, just 2 years ago? mean, we know there was a recession that developed at least a month officially before the pandemic was announced. It's quite possible it was several months. Was that the crisis that led to these emergency repo loans? Well, the Fed's version of the repo market in 2019 morphed from overnight loans to making 14-day loans to making 42-day loans. The fact that a major Wall Street bank needed the comfort of a loan from the Fed that stretched out for 42 days, a month and a half roughly, it's a strong indicator that there was a serious liquidity crisis going on in the fall of 2019 that they or anyone else really talked about. The 42-day term loan from the Fed on November 25th, 2019, $25 billion. Goldman Sachs grabbed a total of roughly $10 billion of it, 38% of the total offered. Now think about that when you look at what Goldman Sachs' derivatives exposure looked like in the financial crisis of 2008 when it was on the hook as a counterparty for $5.1 trillion in credit derivative products. Jeez, what goes around comes around, what comes around goes around.
I work all night, I work all day. Oh,
frustrating. It's the end of today's program. I'll be back next Tuesday, hopefully. Melody will be back tomorrow with Butch. Also be on the lookout for our weekly blog, we're eating up in boxes. Thanks, as always, to our engineer and producer, Todd. I'm Dave Allen. Thanks for listening to Financial Survivor. Have a good day, and please be safe out there. Bye-bye.